Hello, I'm Isabellen, and this is Isabellen Writes Stories for Adults. I've got my air conditioning on. Is it a problem? It is quite warm out, and which means the room I am in is quite warm. Just sharing this out on my Twitter. So hello, I'm Isabellen, and this is Isabellen Writes. It's about 6 p.m.-ish, PST. Gray has entered the live studio. Hello, Gray. And I get to interview her gray side from Twitter. She is a poetess, and she's going to kind of share. I always love to get, there's some things I know, okay, it's the same question over and over, but I'm really curious about how we end up in some of the same places because, you know, the journey is different for everyone, but sometimes the destination gets us in the same community. So it's a big question for me, you know, how people get here. How'd you get here? I want to know. So... I'm going to invite you, go ahead to call in. Since you can hear, is my air conditioning's on because it is very warm. It is warm. It's a warm day. And I got the air I could turn it off if you think maybe it's too, maybe I should turn it off. It is quite a difference when I turn it off, but that's just going to mean it might be a little shorter show. Just be sweating. There, I'll turn it off. It kind of does bug me, but oh, it's so nice. Oh, and there it goes. Yeah, that is a difference, isn't it? So I've turned off my air conditioner, and Gray is calling in, and I am going to silence my phone. And yeah, we are gonna, hi. Can you hear me?
Hello.
I see. Oh, hi.
Hi, Kim.
How are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you? Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
It's very distorted. Good. It's very distorted, though, so I'll try and just work in with it.
Is it really distorted? It shouldn't be. Do you want to go out and call in again and see if that clears it up? Sometimes it does. Yeah, it's a part of it is your location. Okay. I have to say, if you want to try and go out and call in again, because I hear you fine, you sound great, you're really clear. But if you can't hear me, that's going to be a problem.
Okay, I'll try signing out and I'll sign back in. 2 seconds.
Yeah. Gray is down under. She's in Australia, and sometimes the connections, you know, all over the world are a little bit iffy. a little bit iffy. And so we're just going to try it again and see how it works. Oops, why is that? You shouldn't be there. I cannot hear you.
Okay, I'm back.
There you are. Yay. Okay, but I have a weird button now on your thing that says you're muted. I wouldn't know why you're muted. Why are you muted? Stop muting her. That's never happened before. Let me check. How is the reception better for you this time? At all?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Yeah, it's good. It's just a little bit slow for my reply, but that's okay.
Okay. It's a little bit slow. Audience, can you hear Gray? Okay. Let me know. Give me a yes Or a no, or a hello, if, you know, yes. Okay, well, good. If you can hear her, then she's not muted. I'm not sure why my thing is telling me that you are muted. That's a little bit, I don't understand. I keep clicking it. It says unmute user success, but there's a symbol on your, anyways, we're going to ignore it and hope this works. And if it doesn't, I'll just invite you back, you know. We'll just another conversation as long as we can hear you. So I'll try and slow down on my responses to accommodate for that delay. Sometimes there might be a little data delay. So, how are you? How are you today?
Yeah, good. Good, good. A little bit nervous. Good. Nervous, excited, though, so.
Oh, good. So, I was looking at your bio. I want to know, I'm just going to dive right in and ask about the writing. When you started writing, what, you know, we'll just start in the general kind of, mm-hmm. yeah. When did you start writing? What inspired you? When did you start writing? How old were you when you started writing? When were your first words on paper, basically? That's what I want to know.
Oh, good question. To be honest, properly writing the last 2 years. I mean, poetry is something that I did in high school and didn't really think too much more into it. I sort of had art as my vice, but literally the last 2 years I've decided to take it more seriously.
Was there a catalyst? Was there something that kind of threw you more into that, an opportunity, or is it just you just sat down and decided I'm going to stop wasting time and I'm going to take this more seriously?
I've always been told that I've been good with words and I haven't really delved into it too much. But I think last year with COVID and that moment of regret if you don't do something that you've really wanted, even though it's the worst time to start writing and trying to get published and everything like that, it was the moment where if I don't do this, it will be a regret. So, I had a story that I'd already written a year prior and done nothing with it, so I figured I would get in there, get in amongst it and try and do something more with it. So, and then the poetry only happened literally in February this year.
So what inspired the poetry then?
I think it was I was driving along in the car randomly one afternoon on a road trip, and it was the feeling where you have emotions that you want to get out that I've never penned. And just the need to get them out, I guess, the need to have them heard and to understand them as well.
Very much. I can you know, relate to that. Very much. I can relate to that. So what, if the writing started earlier, what are you writing? What genre would that be in?
Totally different. It's children's picture books.
Really? So, how many?
Do you
have a passion for children's picture? I mean, I do. I know you've seen some of my writing, but I love children's picture books. I tend to like the older ones rather than some of the, there are some really good current ones out, but very much the ones from my childhood or my parents' childhood or so on are the ones that are meaningful to me. And then I just like how they're, oh, I could talk about this. I better be quiet. I want to know what inspired you. Tell me about your children's picture book. Tell me, what's your passion? How did that happen?
I've written three. I really like the first one. From who I've spoken to or read them to, the second one is more preferred. But they're all with humor in them, so very different to my poetry. I think what stirred it is I am a mum. I have got three little ones. And with COVID and homeschooling and stuck at home, it was kind of playing in that magic and creating that and having that time with your kids writing stories, essentially. So
in that spending time with your kids writing stories, how much did they inspire the stories?
A lot. The second one is completely about my son.
I can relate. The story I always had in my head. My ex-husband was a really good. He never finished them though. I could kill him. He would write these, you know, come up with these really elaborate stories, and he is quite the artist, and he drew some pictures for them too. But of course, they never got finished, and then they kind of blew away. And I have one of my sons is on the spectrum, autism, high functioning, and he okay, your mom, have you ever laid on the couch with all the kids at once and one of them can't hold still? So, you know, it's just twitching, fidgeting, kicking, and you're like, you're tired out, you're half asleep or whatever, and you know, the one 2-3 year old, 4 year old, four year old boy usually, three of them, and you're looking for, are you looking for a publisher? What is your plan with your and do you have an illustrator? What's your plan with your children's books?
So looked into both paths quite in depth, and I know quite a lot of people who have self-published in that sort of arena where I am, but I'm just really wanting to hold on to that torch with trying to get a publisher and go the traditional path of publishing, and I'm looking at trying to find an agent now as well, and preferably an agent for both the poetry and the children's books as well. So, but it's a hard slog as writers would know.
Very much. Finding an agent, I feel for you. I looked at that and said, nope. But I agree, you know, especially for children's books, going the traditional route, because you want that hardcover, well-crafted book like the ones you've been reading to your children. And doing that on your own is expensive and difficult, and you're never going to see it in the bookstore. And, you know. But it's really hard to get those books in the bookstore facing out, you know, and absolutely. That was one reason why I kind of, with my children's book, I'm like, I maybe someday, but I'm putting this one way on the back burner, because if I do it, I want it done professionally, top notch. And I don't want to be at the book fairs hawking my little book and having nobody, people walking on by. I don't want to be that person. So, you know, with a stack of books that I had to buy myself, you know, and print myself. And, oh, no, I don't want to be that person. That's hard. If you do that, you are amazing. You are a salesperson, too.
Definitely.
I am not that kind of salesperson.
I take my hats off to them.
Yes, I can market online, but I cannot do some of the stuff that with children's books that is necessary. I've read to classrooms before. Have you group tested your books with other kids?
No, not yet. No, I'd like to, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, maybe when it's a fun experience taking them to the classrooms. Kids are so, they don't, you know, they're so receptive. But if there's something that doesn't work or whatever, they'll let you know. They're great. It was after I was in a classroom.
They're very honest.
I need to add the word underwear more often to my writing. I mean, you just pull that word out in a classroom, in a first grade room, you know, you're good. A bunch of 7-year-olds, underwear, everybody laughs. It's just like, it's so perfect. So,
good. And that's what I like about children. It's that raw emotion, and there's magic, and there's so much more to the story. They're excited for the story, so... They're beautiful. It's good genre.
If you did that with your kids, did they want to, did they write their own after it? I mean, were they inspired by your writing to do their own kind of little bit of storytelling?
Yes. So my oldest is 7, and she now wants to be a writer, and she's writing me poetry now that I've read some of my poetry, not all of it, but the the PG version. She wants to be a poet, and she's written me. They're beautiful, and I love that she's in that sort of mind frame that's what she wants to do for now. So
that's great. 7, and so she's writing you poetry, and I'm sure she's decorating them too, which is really nice too.
She told me if I ever do publish my first book that she wants to be the illustrator for it, but I kind of have curved her around to the idea that it's not really possible, but our version she can illustrate for sure.
And maybe not this time, honey, but...
Yeah, next time.
What about for the children's books? Does she want to illustrate those?
Oh, definitely. She's already given me a rough draft of how it's going to look. So.
She's so helpful.
My eldest, yeah. She's got me down to a T, and she organizes most things for me. She's a godsend, so...
Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Oh, 7 is a good age. Yes, very good. Very good age. So you kind of did them over COVID over the last couple of years and spending time. Did you have to homeschool over COVID then?
For a very short period of time. It was only a couple of weeks here because I'm up in Queensland in Australia. So we're cross fingers pretty lucky in the world at the minute, considering. Mm.
So you haven't had too much. It's been, I know it's kind of bouncing around Australia. Australia is such a big place, though. I can't, and I'm very. So American-centric, egocentric. I don't know, whatever it is that makes me think that the world revolves around America, you know. And I don't even know my own geography. I can't be expected to know anybody else's. We're so bad.
I'm the same with Australia.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. You should be. I mean, I'm awful. I am really uneducated when it comes to some things. And my sense of space is like nil. I just can't even so. But Australia is pretty huge. And it's been different in every, kind of state there. So,
definitely.
So you haven't had to homeschool. Well, that's good. You've kind of been let. And your oldest is 7, so... Yeah, that would have been... How old's your youngest?
At the time, he was 2, so he didn't understand why he wasn't getting all the attention.
Ooh, 2.
Yeah, and because the other 2 weren't at the level to read it, I was bouncing back trying to read what they had to do and helping them what they had to do, and then he was, pulling on the leg not understanding why it wasn't about him. So it was fun, but thankfully not too long.
Yeah. You got your dose and you were done.
Most definitely.
2 is a great age. It's got its ups and downs. There's something about the discovery of self at 2 and as the world starts to roll and break open between 2 and 3 and 4, because at 2 it's all about me, and then suddenly at 4 they're in the back seat of the car telling you that you didn't stop long enough at the stop sign. there's this turnover of awareness that is always so amazing for me. Or this, you did it wrong. That's usually when you get the, you do the sandwich wrong and you get the temper tantrum at 2. But at 4, you do the sandwich wrong and you get a lesson on how to do it right,
You do. 4, that's so true.
4-year-olds know everything, and then they go to school and it's like, oh, crushed, I don't know everything, Mom, and there are these other kids. It's always the 4-year-olds who are trying to get, the 2 and 3-year-olds are kind of, they get into the stuff they're not supposed to, but it's the 4-year-olds that you'll come down and they've made breakfast or something. I don't know. They know everything. 4 is always, 4 and 5 has always been it's a fun age. I like them all, actually. 18 months is also a cute age, when they're starting to talk and walk and the world. And it's just, and they're so, generally, usually they're really happy around 18 months. They're just, oh, yay. And then 2 hits and... it's all me and you're never happy. And
no, not at all. Demanding.
Yeah. And no patience for anybody, you know, no patience for the siblings at all. The siblings might as well not exist, right? So I'm sure, yeah, the homeschooling. Why are they here? This is my time with you, Mom. Why they should be gone.
And I don't know if
Don't.
it's because he's my only boy, the whole mama's boy sort of thing. I don't know if it's that he latches on a lot more than what the girls ever did, but he really does. And he demands so much more than what they ever did, and he can't be entertained by himself. So it's full on with him.
I guess it some of that maybe, I don't know. My boys weren't quite that way. Well, that's not true. It just depended on the child, you know, and some of it is birth order. My third definitely was a lot more that than I have four. And so
Oh, good work.
Well, I mean, come on, you've almost Yeah, and they made it to adulthood too, you know. You get that time when your kids are young, if they just get into bed and everybody's still alive, you've done good. You haven't killed anybody, nobody's killed each other, nobody died that day by an accident where you were, you know, doing laundry and somebody fell in the toilet bowl or something. You know, you got made it to the end of the day. Like, good job, Mom. You did
It feels like
it.
that,
So
doesn't it?
yes. Oh, so many times, so many days. So I love that your writing journey started with the children's books. So how did you make it to how did you find the poetry on Twitter? How did you come about? Because that's, you know, you get on Twitter and you think, okay, I'm gonna create my profile. I'm gonna meet an agent. That's just what I was told. You can meet agents on Twitter. You go and follow all the big book accounts, and then you start watching for the agents, and you look those up, and you follow them, and then you try to engage them and talk them. And that's a good way to meet agents if you can't go to any kind of, because you know they just don't take anybody off the street. But anyways, so that's
No.
one reason why I came to Twitter was to network and stuff. My networking that way went really badly, and kind of got the cold shoulder. And I did fine, was able to network, but I kind of found myself in the dirtier section of Twitter where people were just more welcoming and more accepting, and they would retweet stuff and they were more supportive. And then the poetry kind of, you know, a few people would retweet this, that, and the other thing. So how did you find your way? I mean, what was your process on Twitter to developing your account and finding poetry?
It sounds very similar to yours, actually. Same sort of thing with more the picture book writing, having an account for that completely separate. And it's very professional. It's very, they still lift each other up, but you don't necessarily share your work. You don't get to get in amongst the creativity of it. And I'd stumbled across people writing the poetry and just pouring it all out. And I'm like, that is awesome. That is. I have things that I want to pour out. Maybe I should try. But I was so nervous the first time writing poetry again because it'd been, you know, not since I was 19, I think. And I was worried that nothing would come out that was half decent, I guess.
Oh.
And then from there, I just got mesmerized by other people's work and the brilliance that is out there within the poetry community. And it was just that need to explore thoughts and feelings that you have, and Her Grey Side came about, and it was a really good way to express myself and to reach out to other people within the community.
Do you remember the first Twitter poem you wrote?
No. No. And I've tried to go back and actually search it, but my handle was slightly different, so it's kind of completely wiped as to what the first one is. But I can kind of base it off the first Instagram one, but I don't think that is actually my first one. So, but on my first ever poem actually was on my normal writer's account, completely
Yeah.
separate to Her Grey Side. If we're just talking poetry, but I don't know for Her Grey Side, no.
Yeah, I kind of did that too. I was writing my more professional account is the Isoellen account, and I was just there was poetry, and so I was writing, and then I was writing quite a lot, and then I was dumping it all over my feed, and then I thought, oh my gosh, this is not professional, and people might, you know, people might think that this is what they, you know, all they're getting from me as an author, and I'm not sure that I want to take over this account with just my poetry and following other poets, because, you know, I want to keep that, maybe I want to keep that separate, so I started a new account, and yeah, very much. Separating those out. And so then how did you start exploring the more sensual and romantic side of the poetry?
I think it just naturally progressed and it all came out. A lot of my writing is in metaphors or double entendres and I guess concealing that, and then it just developed into less concealing and just being a lot more open about it all. But still, I still have a lot of that in there as well, because it's just fun to have layers, I feel, within a work. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I enjoy a lot of layers. And yeah, very much. Do you find that as on Twitter and writing the poetry, you get to challenge yourself more and there's more freedom there to self-express, but also to challenge yourself as a writer?
Yes, definitely. I was such a critic of Twitter before I sort of went into, okay, I need it for networking, I need it for the writing and the publishing and the agent, that sort of thing. And then now that I'm on there, I'm like, I get it. Like, you just get to free yourself of those thoughts, and sometimes other people will connect with them and relate to them, and that's amazing. And then you can read something else that someone wrote and it stirs and moves you and inspires you more, and it's just like a little melting pot to bounce off of, really. And it's inspiring, it's awesome. And especially if you get the chance to be in rooms with other people and other writers that write differently, it's great fun. I'm a huge fan now. Totally changed.
Totally changed. The connection, inspiration is magic. Yes, totally get the layers. Has there been any kind of moment or especially how long have you been? That's what I should ask. Well, it's really not been that long. Has it just been this year or about a year that you've been on Twitter writing poetry?
February this
February,
year.
February.
So not long. Okay. I'm a newbie.
Have there been any like moments that have been, or poems that you've written or things that have been sent, exchanged with you in that way that have been more, I don't know, that are just, something you want to mark down, that it was a memorable moment that, affected you as a person and a writer?
Ooh, good question. There's been a few pieces that I didn't expect to come out based on one word, like when you get a prompt word. And I hold them closer and I love them more when I read them back. I can still feel how I felt. And I still feel that way when I reread them. There's one about parents that particularly hits home that I've written. There's been other pieces by other people that same sort of thing, where you connect with a lot.
Yeah.
But it's good because it kind of, it shows you more about the person that you are. I didn't realize that I was so driven and needy of nature and to disconnect from the world and go immerse myself there. And now I understand myself more by writing these and reading them back and delving into them. So.
Yeah. You understand yourself more by reading them. Do you keep them somewhere else in a book, or are they all on Twitter?
No, they're all kept, because I do hope to publish. And Instagram, like, I'm very active on the Instagram as well. Probably not as much as what I'd like to be, because I'm spending way more time on Twitter than anticipated. But yeah, I do hope to publish, and so I have got most of them down, and then others that I haven't necessarily put up on Twitter, they're also in there to be published. So yeah.
How does your Instagram work? I mean, how do
my
what
Instagram.
I mean by yeah, how does that poetry community work? Is it how I've couple people like Lossy Scrolls, Matt, he's on Instagram as well, and they've done some prompts and done different things and had quite a community there. And so how does the Instagram work for you as poetry, and where did you find your how did you find your footing there?
I really need to get in amongst it a lot more. I can see that it's such a huge community, and it probably was something that was, especially from what I've heard, bigger prior to me jumping on board. But they still do have the challenges, the prompts that you can kind of find yourself and then put yourself into. And there's amazing poets on there that I connect with that I don't necessarily have in the Twitter world. It's just very different because you're showing yourself more in a concept or with your art or what your brand is. And I think you've touched on this before with another person in an interview, which I found very intriguing. It is more a closed in box, I remember you said as well, and it's how you're projecting yourself. Yeah, how you're projecting yourself. Whereas Twitter, it's like a free-for-all. So I do prefer the Twitter, but I still very much hold Instagram in high regard, and I should be on there more, but I'm not on there as much as I am.
Yeah, and then you're connecting. I mean, you can connect the visual on Twitter. That is true, but there's Instagram is meant to, those boxes, I think, are meant to drive your vision. And so it is much more, you know, you can't ever just post some, the visual is important. It's important in every way, shape, or form. And so it kind of changes the experience to me a little bit. It's not necessarily bad. Mm. It is just a very different. There's another question from the chat. How long after you wrote Twitter poems before you found your way into your first PM room?
Oh, good question. I think it was a month or more, and I didn't even know they existed, to be honest. I just got invited into a group, and I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. Yes. And it's a small closing group, and it's been amazing. And the people that I've met within there are just brilliant writers. So I, without a doubt, cannot say that my work has not evolved without their, I guess, presence, because it's not that we're critiquing or anything. We're literally just sharing what we mm-hmm. what we've written, what we work, and supporting each other that way. So, yeah.
I'm very inspired by the other writers. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's a phrase, sometimes it doesn't. I'm very, very much. And that's kind of why I like the openness of it. Not that you can't have that on Instagram, but it just is different for me. I do, it's just different. I was going to ask something else. So you've been in the DM room, and you've really gotten some feedback there. Do you get feedback in the room you're in? Is there like, yeah, that one was good, how does that work? Do you feel like you're getting feedback that encourages you to write more, or is it just kind of challenged by, oh, he wrote that, or she wrote that, I'm going to try this, you know? How does that work for you?
Probably more of the second one. I have heard that there are other groups where they critique more and they break things down and they, you know, positive or negative feedback. I've heard that there's rooms like that. I'm not in one of those necessarily. It's more that we all just post in there what we have done, and it's that inspiration of, wow, like, that's an awesome piece, and just going, I need to go write something awesome. You know, like, I've only done my little writes today, and that was amazing, and just getting that revved up sort of feeling from it all.
What inspires you most? I mean, is it words, your family, kids, emotions? Is there, what really inspires you to write?
Nature and I guess connections. It's a good question. I just get overwhelmed and thoughts, and I guess ultimately I have my parents to thank because they're both librarians. So my childhood was very much just getting fed books. So and having
books,
that relation.
Then? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish the question before we go off on favorite books. I'm sorry.
You know, just having that relationship with them where, you know, after school, rather than having after school care, we would literally go catch the bus to the library and have to stay there till 6 or 7 o'clock at night till Dad finished. And yeah, just books and words were normal, and a normal exchange. If you've read a good book, you just swap them over and that sort of thing. So they've always been there, words and the love of it and the comfort of it. It just hasn't bloomed until now, I guess you could say.
Oh, that's fantastic. I couldn't imagine. That would just be, you go and you have to be surrounded by books until 6 o'clock every, oh my goodness.
Punishment, isn't it? The best kind of punishment.
Oh yes, just torture. You know, we talked about children's books. In my library at home, you could each library card could get, you could check out at a time, the limit was 50 books. I had 4 children. We left the library every time with so many more books than we could carry. I would just go through, oh, let's try this one. And then there were some we kept checking out over and over again. Okay, try this one. You know. We used to have stacks of books. I love taking the kids because our library had interactive things, but I also loved going through and picking out the books. And that combination of the art and words has always been something that, you know, I think adults should get that too. I love that.
Definitely.
The art and the words. You know, when those big books, what were they? The Brian Farood, the big books of elves and the one with the gnomes. And it was like these diagrams and the story. Oh, that was like for adults because it thought the handwriting, you couldn't read it without, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Anything. Yeah. I thought that was just better than cheese on toast. I don't know. I still... That's what I love. Books, and then the invention of adding coffee to your bookstore or your library.
That sounds awesome.
That's a little bit of heaven right there. So your parents. So what were you? That was what I was going to ask. Just, do you have favorite books? And were you reading poetry before you were writing poetry?
Not really, but now I have an extensive library, probably too much. And I've completely swayed because I love science fiction. So I read a lot of sci-fi and that's on my bookshelf a lot, but that's been completely discarded since, I think, more Christmas time. And yeah, it's probably a poetry book or two a week that I'm churning through. So can't get enough of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you bring poetry to read, maybe? Did I ask?
I did.
Yay!
I did.
Could you? I would love it if you kind of introduced the poem, told me you could read it, and then, I don't know, I might ask you to read it twice. That has nothing to do. I just want you to know right now that has nothing to do with what I think about your reading. I just like to hear it. And if I can't see it, I like to soak it in sometimes. And so I have asked people, could you please read it again, please? Because I don't want to miss anything. But you could read it first, and then maybe we could talk about what inspired it, whether it was a prompt or a word or a feeling or whatever.
Yeah, we can do that. That sounds good. We'll start off with nature, something nice and green and calm, maybe, rather than anything saucy straight up. So this one that I've chosen first is called Forest Therapy. And I'll read it. Here we go. I stand firm upon the forest floor, the damp moss sponging on bare broken feet. This dark wooden tombstone city towers higher than sky's grace here. With a shaded juniper embrace, freshly enfolding down, I come to hide amongst the solid old, amongst the vines with mistful air, where tides and shores can't be heard, where whispers upon waves don't crash or churn or stir. For it is the forest that waters my soul's emerald bloom,
The sea but calms and mutes, whereas the forest is softly safe, alive, subtly thriving with new growth, branching buds reviving, forever strong, sturdy, and still.
Mm. Yeah, I need to hear it again. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I stand firm upon the forest floor, the damp moss sponging on bare broken feet. This dark wooden tombed stone city towers higher than sky's grace here. With a shaded juniper embrace freshly enfolding down, I come to hide amongst the solid old, amongst the vined with mistful air, where tides and shores can't be heard, where whispers upon waves don't crash or churn or stir. For it is the forest that waters my soul's emerald bloom, the sea but calms and mutes, whereas the forest is softly safe, alive, subtly thriving with new growth, branching buds, reviving, forever strong, sturdy, and still.
There are so many good lines in that. And I like the tense that you use. I have to see it in front of me, but there were the way you put your words together changed the, I don't know, they emphasize kind of the majesty of the moment. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Tell me about your poem.
No, that's okay.
I'm such a goober. I'm sorry. I'm getting caught up in the words. No. So beautiful.
Thank you. And I love feedback, so that's really good. I was actually kind of just waiting on every word that you said afterwards. So, yeah, I guess I'm that kind of person that with words and emotions and everything like that, I'm very much an introvert, so I internalize all of it and I get to a point, I'm such a calm person, but on the inside I'm really not, and I get to a point where I either need the ocean to try and drown out the thoughts, or more so when it's too much, I need the forest and to get immersed in the jungle or a hike or the fresh air or all of it to just reset and start again, to wipe it clear and to just feel re-energized, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. And that's in that connection of going out and being in the middle of it and soaking it up and all the visual, sensory, and spiritual sensory is in there. Mm. It's in those words and the way you shape them. I'm not really great at nature poetry. You are much better. Yeah, I suck at it. I get too caught up in trying to paint the picture, and I forget the spiritual, the natural, the raw kind of connection with it. I'm too much in what I'm sensing rather than what the emotional. And you're it's coming out. You know, that connection there that you're feeling in that deep breath moment is in there. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Would you read another one, please? Oh, wait. I want to ask this question before I forget. Do you have a favorite book of poets at the moment?
I'm a big fan of Atticus, which is obviously quite a modern day poet. There's also, I can't pronounce his last name. I want to say it's Michael Fordit, and I've just discovered him this week, and he's amazing. But if we're talking the classics, I'd say Oscar Wilde or I like Edgar Allan Poe, a lot of his work as well. Yeah.
I need to spend some more time with Poe. I need to spend some more time with Poe.
Yeah, and I got gifted Walt Whitman, which was amazing. I haven't finished Walt Whitman's book yet, The Leaves, but I will. I will get there.
Oh, the Leaves of, is it Leaves of Gold or?
I think it's Green.
Green Leaves of Green. There's so much out there. I always have this. I buy a new book. I'm going to create a ritual of poetry. poetry. Oh, Leaves of Grass. That's right. Thank you.
Leaves of Grass, that's it.
I'm gonna create this daily ritual of poetry and coffee. Yeah, no, that never happened.
Oh, that sounds
but
good.
But it's usually coffee and Twitter and messages and emails and, you know, but...
Yeah, life gets in between of it all.
Exactly. Do you want to share another one?
Yes, I can do another one.
I would love that. I'm getting better. I'm starting to ask poets for more because I really enjoyed this chance to listen and then talk back and forth about it. And, you know, I'm starting to be a little bit better about reminding poets, you know, bring a lot because I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy hearing it quite a bit. And I will probably, if they're short, that's fine, but I'm probably going to ask you to read several. I need to put that in my little form letter. So poets, if you want to come on, I'd love to have you on, but be prepared to read several because I do really enjoy it. It is such a special thing. Twitter poetry is just out of this world. I could just talk, you know, endlessly about the treasure of it. So yes, please share.
Okay, let's have a look. This one is called Blind Senses. It's relatively new. My eyes held closed. Instantly other senses rise, keen, alive, ears listening for your strong presence to disrupt the airy space between us. As you close in, your scent dances, drawn in, enticing my eager. Your fingers teasing, tracing from ankle to inner waiting, wanting thighs. My tongue bites lip in anticipation of tasting you and your being, your command, your pleasing, as I so desire to please you, beggingly, now.
I like that one too. That's beautiful. Have you had any trouble with... I haven't asked this one for a while. I should ask this. Have you had any trouble with unsolicited visits in your DMs, or are they locked to keep that from happening? I mean, when you write poetry like that, or has it been a fairly, you know, kind of safe environment? How do you feel about that? I mean, was there ever this moment where, if I write this, are a bunch of strangers going to think it's about them? I mean, is there ever that moment where you felt like, you know, a little challenge, like, what am I putting out there? Is this going to go over okay? I never ask the guys this way. I should ask the guys that, you know, when they're writing their sensual. Have you ever worried? I'll remember that. But have you ever? I know that I did, which is why I ask it.
Yes, completely. You do. And I think it's just part and parcel, unfortunately, of writing that way. And I guess people will get a different sort of idea. I mean, it's still warranted because your writing is obviously still quite sensual and sexual and you have those sort of thoughts, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're inviting anyone. In fact, you're not. And I haven't got DMs switched off, but sometimes I probably should have. but... I still try and be nice about it. It's nice to have other people connect with your work. It's just, it's not an invitation at the same time. That's the fine line there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not been I've not had too much. It's not been a horrible, really scary experience. But to go on and to be open and talk about desire and sensuality and any kind of exchange, you do feel like, am I offering an invitation? And no, I'm not, but I'm still sharing the poetry. So what is that going to be like? I've had some interesting, you know, I've had some interesting conversations in my DMs. So, I'm always curious. Sometimes, because the things that people respond to, men and women, is always a little bit different. Sometimes it's certain words, right, when you're writing that way. Sometimes it's certain settings, certain ideas that people respond to. And so, Generally, if people come in, they get an interview because I want to know what it is that brought them. Which word was it? Which line was it? Oh, is that the one that worked for you? Okay, that's good to know. This one didn't work for you? Are you sure? Why didn't this work with you? I will ask them. And then for some reason, they don't come back. I don't know. But I jump on that. You don't get that many chances. It feels like it's an unsolicited chance to ask a lot of questions that you normally, invasive questions that I normally wouldn't get to ask. So I'm like, I want to know, did that work for you? That turned it really? No, I didn't think that was anything, you know? Yeah, it's fun. Okay, do you have more?
I do. I have plenty more that are more the central, or I can go back to something less central, I guess.
That is up to you. I didn't realize. I will let you choose. Sensual is fine. We're not safe for work here. So, but I like the other two. So your nature poetry is also gorgeous. So do you have the one you wrote? What was it about parenthood? Parenting, or you were saying that?
Yes.
Could you read that one, yes, please?
Certainly. I've titled it Our First Best Friend. I was wrong in this world to walk so soon, to spread wings and fly from your nest of warmth that held me long in budding bloom, with water and with dry. I see hands now shake, hands worn wise, with kind, loving eyes that mirror miss the time gravely gone. In memories, in laughter lost, and ages and years painfully past. I am witness to an impending end I can't bear to comprehend with any fibre of my existence. You, my edifying parent, my first ever best friend.
That is really sweet. What did you discover in that one about when you wrote it?
Regret.
Oh, really?
Big regret. Yeah, I think it's, they do, and especially becoming a parent, you finally get it. You have like a aha moment where the light bulb happens and you're like, I see the other side now and how much you sacrificed and how much you gave. And then, you know, when you're young and you just want to fly the coop, you don't think twice about it. You're like, you just have to let me go, Mum, let me fly, kind of thing. But then once you're a parent and you see the other side, it's hard to see them aging, and yet it's hard to see all those, because I don't live near my parents, it's quite a distance. It's hard to see them aging and not having that time to spend with them. And Yeah,
perspective is everything, is the comment. Very much so. Very much so. The looking back on those moments. Yeah, very much so. That is a wonderful poem. Thank you for sharing that. I'm ready for the next one.
Thank you. We can do another one. We can do Summer Rose Thirst. This one was based on the Twitter prompt word, which was rose, only a couple of days ago. And I wasn't going to write on it, but it just kind of, it happened.
So it happened when Twitter.
Yeah. Summer Rose Thirst. Her mouth a rose, rouged radiance, enticing his quench to taste what she could only be but liquid summer, with dancing droplets donned upon petals slightly parting. He so eager to lick, slurp, suck, every droplet dry, as a spritz to his lust's drought, kissing her hydrating bloom.
Kissing her hydrating bloom. See, that's one of those twists of you take of the natural form of grammar and you reshape it, and it reforms the sense of action and the her hydrating, because you would never say that, but still it's so beautifully written. And then the beginning, what it, There was something you did the same way in the beginning. Where is Twitter shaping your words and your cutting words, or is this, you found your pacing and your ability to get the most out of the words by reshaping them and not following all the rules? Did Twitter do that to you, or are you just getting? Now I do not have to follow all the rules. I can do it my way.
Yeah, I think it's just my particular style. Because at the start, I didn't feel like I necessarily had a style. Mm-hmm. But the more I continue going, I feel like it's my own way of writing it, transforming it. I do find the frustration in the small amount that you can type within one post on Twitter, which everybody does.
Yes.
I do prefer when you can just keep on pouring, and I hate when I have to hack into a piece and make it shorter, but then I find that sometimes it is a blessing to have to do that to make it shorter, sharper, and sweet. So
yeah, that taking the knife to it is it does sometimes it makes it better. Sometimes it, paring it down, cutting into it makes it stronger. Not always, but sometimes it's what's needed. And I don't know that I love the words and I would use all the words, roll in all the words, all the flowers. I went to all the, you have to take how many flowers from the flower shop? No, I want all the flowers. The words are all the flowers. I want them all. And having Twitter does enforce a little bit of discipline. Sometimes it's good. I like that you're starting to develop your style and your voice here within this kind of community way, rather than you're finding your voice and your style within a community rather than all by yourself. That you're defining who you are against all, in your DM room and against on the scope of everything Twitter is in your feed, that you're finding that voice in the midst of all these other voices. They're not drowning you out. They're not saying, don't do that. They're not saying, you're doing it wrong. Mm. They're like, oh, this is wonderful. And you just are finding that style and developing it. You've been here since February. So you said, it's kind of changed and you're kind of, that this is just kind of how I am and what I'm liking. And that's kind of cool. That you find your voice in community. That kind of goes against, we always think, well, the community drowns us out. We got to be all on, we all got to have our own soapbox. You're just finding your style and that it is accepted. And, you've got followers and you get your retweet. So you are getting some love for that style. That's amazing. That's a beautiful thing. There's not a lot of other, I bring it up because there's just not a lot of other places you can get that, Yeah, there's not on Facebook. It's not, it's either your dinner or your kids or, your politics or other places on Twitter, or it's your dinner, your kids or your politics or, but on Poetry Twitter, you get to find your voice and your style and your niche and everybody encourages you, and the better you get at that, the stronger your voice, the more you get encouraged in that. That's kind of a cool thing. And I imagine it's probably too on Instagram as well. Instagram, that you're getting some of that feedback there as well, to find your style, your voice, find what pictures work, content works, what people respond to, but there's some give and take there. But just find out, discovering what colors, you like to be, her gray side, but still. What is it? I need to ask about your name. What inspired your name? Your Twitter name?
I guess it could play into what you're just saying in that, in the real world outside of Twitter, in the everyday land, I don't have
I think there's only a handful of people that have actually read the poetry, and those that have read the poetry don't necessarily understand, especially the more central side. I guess in real life you can get labelled and put into a little basket, whereas with Her Grace Art, I just felt all of us have these thoughts. I don't think that I was different in any way, but I wanted to express my particular shades or thoughts, whether they're positive or negative, or, you know, because even then positive and negative is a label, but they're just, we all have shades that, which are thoughts that we just play with all day and go in between, and that's it. This is just my gray side, my shades, my thoughts.
Oh, okay. That works. That's very cool. Everybody has their day, you know, most people. There used to be, I think he changed his name. He used to be Needs a Better Name.
Yeah. That's a good name.
It is a good name, but I think he changed it to a while ago. And, you know, sometimes the Twitter handles are a little bit like, I'm one of those readers, I read the beginning of the word and the end of the word, and I don't always connect the middle. And so Twitter handles are like phone numbers sometimes for me. I don't necessarily remember exactly the whole thing. I know the icon and... but yeah, it needs a better name was one name. Could you read one more, please? I would love that.
Yes, I can. I reposted or retweeted one. I can read that one. It's a little bit more fun. That yes. Moon.
Oh,
yeah. Do that one. I actually haven't named this one, so... we'll just read it. Okay. It doesn't have a title yet. Yesterday's moon held ever strange, for it waxing came in sleeping, slanted enchantment, holding full cradle, a sleeping, oneric spell, like an air of magic, sweeping in on zephyr winds to distort reality, clarity, cloud judgment, and one's sanity. For it is all but a dream, or was the dream already woke, and I to sleep should now be sent, to think of this night as simply my mind's yet another insomniac, sleep-deprived, overdrive, poetic joke. I think the moon might be my therapist.
I think the moon might be my therapist. That is kind of funny. I was coming, you know, you were getting kind of serious and kind of, you know, I was like, where is this going to go? Oh. Oh, I do like how you, I think the word is trunciate your sentences, the way you shorten them, put the words together. Oh, it's just so beautiful. I want to thank you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've tried to make a conscious effort because I like my poetry when it's quite fast and reads fast, but I've made a conscious effort today to slow it down for some of them that need to be slower. So,
yeah. It is. It's funny because the hearer is a slower hearer than you are a speaker. I find when it comes to storytelling and reading, and when sometimes we'll be reading and we'll think we're going a really good pace, but it's way too fast, and the hearer isn't able to soak everything in. And so when you slow it down, you sound a little bit like a slowed record, and it sounds a little ridiculous. But if you have other people listen to the two, you know, I know the feeling. I very much know the feeling. And then I like to do the speed thing too, because it's passionate, and I'm feeling, and the words, the way the words fit together when you read them fast is a little bit, it's different than when you read them slow, right? You're hitting those notes. It's like a different... it's just different music. And sometimes you want the fast, peppy music, and you want... doop, 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 and sometimes you want the slow music, and you don't want to read your slow music or your fast music slow. It sounds ridiculous, but...
So am I going to listen back and I'm going to cringe? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. But we're all our worst critic, aren't we? So you might. I can't say you won't, because we're all our most worst critic. I do not like to listen to myself back. So I almost never do, unless I absolutely have to come in and do some editing because I made a big mistake. I do not listen to, I don't enjoy it. I'd rather read something through and get it right and never have to listen to it again. If you ever
hear me, I might have to do that then.
Yeah, I'll post my singing sometimes on Twitter, but I listen to the first part of it to see that it took. I do not listen to the whole thing unless I absolutely have to. There's just no way. I love to sing. Do I like how I sound? No, I hate how I sound. Are you kidding
me? But you sound awesome to listen to. I enjoy listening to your podcast very much.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciated this. Is there another question? Too true, hyper self-critical. Yes, we are all hyper self-critical. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much. You'll have to come
thank
again
you.
When you get that agent and tell us how you did it.
Yeah.
Connecting with the agent or getting the book deal, because I really would rather put, yeah, traditional. It's still the goal, right? It's still the golden, you know, at least once. I know so many. Well, I did once, and it wasn't as good as I thought. I don't care. You got your once. I want my once.
Exactly. And you want to walk into the store or into the library and see your book there and go, that's it.
Yes,
that moment.
Exactly. You want that.
Yes. Doesn't matter if no one reads it, but it's that moment.
No. Yeah. You take pictures with your book, you know. I had an author on. She's like, look, it's my book, baby, and it's beautiful, and it doesn't cry or poop or anything, and I feel an immediate connection to it. You know, we were like,
that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And you take pictures with it, hold it up, you know, pose, get the family in. Look, I can turn the page. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I appreciate your flexibility with times and everything. And yeah, you'll definitely have to come back when you get an agent.
Sounds good. Will do. Yeah.
Okay, you have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I gotta be better at that goodbye part. Does it feel awkward? I hope it doesn't feel awkward because, you know, I'm so grateful to have you here. I think sometimes I say thank you 100 times, but I really am. It is such a delight to get to talk to people from all over the world who have different perspectives and different experiences and sometimes shared experiences that I probably do say thank you for. Or too many times, and I'm sorry. Forgive me if it's awkward. There's my music. I just, you know, the poetry and coming on to the Twitter and finding that community, and then finding I've done that. I kind of have. Well, I don't know. I like to play with things too much. But finding your style within the. Finding who you are within the community rather than going off to do it by yourself, I think there might be something there. I think that we're not meant to be all alone and isolated, that interacting with people, as risky as it is, helps us find our voice, helps us find our style, helps us find who we are. You know, as women, we can compare ourselves ruthlessly, and as writers too, because we're always editing to others. That can be a bad thing, but in a way it can be a good thing, because you help define your own parameters and your own boundaries and your own identity in that scope, and your own individuality. How can you be an individual all by yourself with nobody? It doesn't really matter. You're just out there, you know. Anyways, you get what I'm saying, right? Thank you, guys. I can't wait to reshare this. Have a fantastic day.